I just realized this morning as I printed my notes, I'm actually maturing. I used to print them at the 10 point as opposed to 18 point at the moment, so I can see much better. And then I've got to put the right glasses on. So I'm doing okay. Stella, thank you very much for those words that you read with such conviction. I hope I will do it justice. Good morning, church. Let us just dedicate the time. Heavenly Father, I stand before your people to deliver your message. Though the words are mine and I prepared this message, I pray that this message is your message in its entirety. I pray your blessing and anointing on the message, its delivery, its reception, but most of all, its application in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may recall, last time I stood here, our theme was holiness from the book of Peter. Peter's encouragement to the weary early believers was to stand firm, remain pure, and fix their hope entirely on the grace that is to be revealed at Christ's return. We were left with a challenge the day we walked. The day we left, we were left with the challenge to walk in the vision God has for our lives and the purposes, to be holy, for He is holy, but also with the encouragement of walking together along the right path for His namesake, as we find in Psalm 23:3. So today, we continue in a way the theme of the holiness, or part of it, but we are focusing more on the reality of faith in our walk. I'm using the title, Do Not Lower Your Sails, as opposed to Shrink Back, because lowering your sails, or shrinking back, I should rather say, is akin to a nautical term. So let us see where we're going to sail this morning. The book of Hebrews, written to the early believers, similar to the book of Peter, the Jews who had converted to Christianity, having come to faith through the testimonies of eyewitnesses of Christ. They were not novices and had successfully endured, but they had, however, become dull of hearing and were in danger of drifting away and losing their zeal. And the encouragement in our text today was to check the downward spiral. The purpose of the book of Hebrews is to recapture, build, and sustain the readers in their faith of Christ's superiority, His holiness, and provides four key warnings to the early converts and believers like us today. The danger of neglecting our salvation, the danger of unbelief and hardening our hearts, the danger of not maturing and staying on milk, the danger of drawing back and falling into the hands of the living God when we draw back. So let us look at the scriptures we've just heard this morning. We can have the next slide, please. The key word on that slide is really remembering. The believers are reminded on the day when they turned from darkness to light and suffered hardship because of the assurance of eternal life. Do you remember when you gave your life to Christ? I do. It's like yesterday, 1987. We were sitting in a Pentecostal church in East London in South Africa. And unbeknown to me, when I put my hand up, Lydia put her hand up at the very same time. So we obviously had something within us seeking the Lord. Now, I've come from a Catholic background, then a Dutch Reformed background, then a Lutheran background. In our travels, you went to the church that was available. Yeah. But ultimately, We both had a void. We had a hole in our heart. And at the same time, we put our hands up. We were nominal Christians. I more than Lydia. I mean, after all, I literally grew up on a snooker table. That was the background of my family's business and so forth. So Lydia was kind of the holy one in those days in my life. But we both put our hands up at the same time. And the excitement that followed, the fellowships that followed, the missions, the studies, and all these things, I remember it like today. And I also remember how our values and focus radically changed. The priorities, more from the temporal to the eternal. From values, what God thinks of us, more than what other people think of us. And this was instilled by the grace of God in our children. So what better gift? And today in our grandchildren. So today our prayers are daily, God protect our children. May they yearn for you the way we yearn for them, for God. And we recognize in today's world, I know we always say that as we get older, it used to be better in our days. But I really believe the children of today, they're living in a world I wouldn't want to have lived in when I was a child. They can't see you, they don't greet you, they walk like this permanently, one hand with a mobile. They're actually very lonely people. As the psalmist says in 27:4, one thing I ask of the Lord, and that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That's what we live for. And then the storms hit. After that, many things in our lives really went bad. And today as I stand here, I recognize the sequence when you commit your life. The abundant life that Jesus promised has nothing to do with a trouble-free life, but rather with having His joy in the midst of tribulation. Yeah. Luke 9:23 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So now we come to the next slide, please. Do not throw away your confidence. We are reminded of the maxim, it's not how you begin, but it's how you end. The early believers had been deeply convicted previously, and they are encouraged not to cast away their confidence and lose their reward. Revelation 21:7 says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Trials and opposition has a good outcome. It builds character and patience, and the knowledge and assurance of Jesus Christ's presence in our trials helps us actually to grow in our faith walk. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom then shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Verses like these we can take as a promise, and the Lord will strengthen us for all that befalls us. So at what point will you and I give up on God? When will the storms and the fiery trials of life cause us to give up? And even in this congregation over the last few months, look how many trials and how many illnesses and so forth have befallen us. Jesus said, who endures to the end shall be saved. We must have the patience to bend our will to the will of God in order to receive the promise. There's a price to pay. Our confidence in the promises of God gives us endurance to face these trials and tribulations. In fact, in Romans 5:3, it says, more than we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. He knows all about our personal needs. For your Father knows what things you have need before you ask Him in Matthew 6:8. He really cares for you, and He's touched by your need. The scripture says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Confidence, not based in yourself, but a sense of internal security and a certainty based on the faithfulness of God and the finished work of Christ. Let us therefore not throw away our confidence. He will make a way in every trial. The next slide, please. You need to persevere. Endurance depends which Bible you're reading out of. When you have done the will of God, and we know what the will of God is. You may recall the will of God is to be holy, just as I am holy. So how do you develop perseverance? How do you grow in perseverance? Romans 15:4-5 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach you, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." We'll get back to the word of hope in a moment. So, what we can see here is that endurance flows from the pages of the Bible. You will gain endurance as you are in the Word of God. God is building endurance as you go through trials, but you need to be in the Word of God. James 1:2-4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Note, we are going through trials. We are being taught through the Word, but we are not lacking anything in the meantime. So note the connection between verse 35 we've just seen and verse 36. It is our confidence that gives us endurance, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to keep going and not to quit. So, we now know about perseverance, but what is the purpose of perseverance? You must have it so that you can serve God's purpose in your own generation. Look what he says. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will then receive what he has promised. He's got work for you to do. He wants you to do this. He wants you, as it says in Acts 13, when David had served God's purposes, done his will, in his own generation, he fell asleep. So we know what's coming our way. So God has a purpose for our life. And when God is done with us, he's going to take us home.
Amen.
Until then, we've got work to do. There's no retirement for the blessed, for the chosen. We just got to carry on. John, you are an excellent example of that. And John, I hope you might be on Zoom. You are an excellent example of that. And all of you, of course. Hope. The Scriptures, Romans 15:4-5, that we've just read, also says that through endurance we might have hope. Indeed, the whole scripture that we are reading this morning is a message of hope. Notice, the message of hope is given to those that are suffering. God can use your suffering and pain to minister to others. God can use your suffering and pain to grow yourself. The message of hope is also given to those who are suffering with others. These Christians were suffering with one another. When one Christian brother or sister suffers, we all suffer. And when they have a victory, we all celebrate the victory with them. I'm so encouraged by the WhatsApp of our congregation. When people are down, the messages are pinging in. When the people are up, the messages are pinging in. It is a real encouragement. So keep it up, and really. The message of hope is also given to those who are waiting for Christ's return. So what is hope? Sorry, I don't know who's quizzed that yet. Let me give you a biblical definition of hope, because the word of hope has become somewhat of a different meaning today than it was before in the New Testament. Hope in the worldly understanding indicates something of a contingency, an expectancy, that something will happen. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it doesn't do that. I hope it doesn't do that. That's the hope the world knows. But in the New Testament, where it indicates an absolute certainty about the future, an attitude of real expectancy, of confidence in God and His ability to do what He has promised. That's the hope that we have. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life." I'm sure we can identify with it. You really get sick when you don't have hope. But the tree of life, it just refreshes you. We tend to give up when we have no hope. But when we have hope, it gives us endurance. Hope produces endurance, or should I say, endurance is the fruit of hope. We can endure a lot when we have hope. But where does it come from? Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Note, the God of hope, He's both the origin and the object of hope. And the key word here is in believing. You have to believe. The God of hope is the hope. Notice, our life must first be a life of faith, and from our faith comes hope. If you've lost hope, it's because you've taken your mind off Christ. You've taken your mind off God and focused on your own circumstances. And as we focus on the Lord through scriptures, our faith will grow, and our faith in God will give us hope. Psalm 147:11 says, "The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." The next slide, please. "For yet a little while," I guess that gives away the next word, patience. We need to have patience. Patience is the willingness to endure and wait. You can endure almost anything if you know it's only temporary. I just got to get there. It's just temporary. And the sooner we see an end, the stronger our endurance. When the limit of your ability to survive the test is reached, or when your faith and trust overcomes the power of that test to destroy you, then God, as it says, they will come, and He will not tarry. So there is a way out. The next slide, please. "But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." Faith simply means that living by faith is the correct way to live. If your faith is genuine, you will live by it, and you will endure. Scripture says faith pleases God. Habakkuk says, "But the just shall live by faith." It's so important, it's quoted three times in the New Testament, just to bring out the full meaning of just live by faith. In Romans 1:17, Paul quotes this with the emphasis on faith. In Galatians 3:11, the emphasis is on just. In Hebrews 10:38, the emphasis is on live. So collectively, the just shall live by faith. It's right throughout the Bible. We are supposed to be the just. So accepting salvation through Jesus Christ was our first step in our faith walk. But a faith too weak to change your life is also too weak to save your soul. So we have to walk in faith and continue to grow to walk in faith in the assurance that our soul will be saved. My righteous one will live by faith. See, there's a tone of warning in that. It's consistent with the book of Hebrews, a serious warning epistle. You can't shrink back from Christ and go on to heaven. To draw back, as we've heard, is a meaning, is a nautical term. It's to shorten your sails. Have you served the Lord and you wonder, why do these trials and these tribulations happen? Well, sometimes these problems happen because we ourselves sow the seeds. And sometimes they simply come because it's time for another test in our lives. By following the model of the perseverance and faith as seen in Abraham, we will see God accomplish His plans and fulfill His promises for our church and our lives. Abram exhibited faith by walking in God's direction. By faith, Abram, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed the call on his life and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. It doesn't matter how bad things are. I'm sure we all know this scripture in Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes. When I read it this morning again, I realized just about everything refers to provision. Vines, crop, food, sheep, cattle. We have no need to stress about anything. All our needs are met. And Habakkuk sums it up very well. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. So we've spoken a lot about trials and storms and suffering and so forth. So let us just spend a moment in 1 Peter. Because Peter can appropriately be called the epistle of suffering. At the same time, it can also be called the epistle of joy. Indeed, for Peter, suffering and joy are not opposites. They're like pain or pleasure. Rather, they are interdependent. Trials and tribulations are inextricably linked with rejoicing and unspeakable joy. Peter provides a context of meaning, which I think we should take note of. Suffering is within God's broader plan. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to the faithful Creator and continue doing good. 1 Peter 4:19. Suffering fulfills several important purposes. It brings about the genuineness of faith. Suffering indicates the very presence of God and enables the Spirit of God and of glory to rest upon us. Peter 4:14. Because, let me read this scripture to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. And why are you blessed? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. That is your assurance. That is our assurance in trials. The Spirit of God is with us. Because of this, for Peter, suffering is a cause of rejoicing. As Christians, we are called to suffer, to be passionate, not only for Christ, but to actively share the suffering of others. This means to embrace suffering wherever or however one finds it. That's why we need to reach out to those that suffer. We may not have words. We may just have a bear hug, but we need to reach out to those that suffer, expecting to be treated the same way when we suffer. That's community. That's Christian community. So let us look at practical faith. Living a practical faith by creating an environment of faith. To pursue the presence of God, it's vital we create an environment of faith within our lives and in our church, an environment that welcomes God. We know from James 2:16 that faith doesn't act upon what it says. We know from James 2:16 that faith that doesn't act upon what it says it believes is a dead faith. So whatever we may be saying, we need to act upon it. Faith means resting in what Christ has done for us in the past, but also trusting Him for what He will do in the present and in the future. So therefore, to create an environment of faith, first, remember God's past intervention. You have seen all that God, the Lord has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He who fought for you. That's Joshua speaking to the Israelites. So what about the miracle in your own lives? As I stand here, I can remember many in our lives. I mean, we have a son, as you know. That was to us a major adjustment in the beginning, but he's come through that all these years, one miracle after another, as we look back. I'm sure in your lives there are many miracles. So the first thing, when we live a practical faith, is to remember the past. God's working on our lives in the past. Creating an environment of faith that anticipates God's future intervention. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Scripture so well known. We also have to look at creating an environment of faith to allow God's present intervention. That's where we are today. It was good to remember those miracles. It's good to anticipate God looking after us, guiding us, making a way for us. But how do we do it in the present? To allow God to intervene in the present, we have to obey God. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Again, back to staying in the Word. And I have to say here, in my own life, we're all different. Lydia is with her nose in the book day in, day out. I'm in the book in a different way. Yes, but I also, whenever I wake up or whenever I go from one season to another, I'm just amazed at the God of creation. How can anybody think there has to have been a big bang? Look at the sunsets, look at the sunrises, look at the seasons. There has to be a God. And we get to know that God through the book. So what it says here, obey the God by reading His Word. Obedience to God's Word needs to be central in everything that we do. You see, obedience actually runs a little bit contrary to the culture of our independence, isn't it? It's always a battle between self-centered rebellion and God-centered obedience. It's a perennial battle that we have. The second point is to be holy. Now, we've heard about holiness already. It's to be separate. We are not to love the world and things in the world. And lastly, follow God. Jesus said, if you follow me, keep my commandments. That's our choice. If we want miracles in our life and the present, we want to have the assurance, that's our choice. Keep my commandments. The next scripture, and the next slide, please. 39. Notice there are two types of believers. A, those who keep their faith, and those who draw back. He who thinks that by refusing to take up his cross daily and follow the example left by Christ can escape the reproach and the persecution of this world and yet go to heaven is fatally to perdition, deluding himself. If you backslide, there's only one way. And that's the wrong way, not what you're anticipating. You have turned your back on Christ. Even the word says it. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. Those who decline in their relationship in obedience to God will suffer from it, even if their decline is only in heart. Their own backsliding ways will come upon them. And that's in Proverbs. And we use Proverbs to gain wisdom. So it's as well that we read it. The Bible speaks of, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. So therefore, let's not backslide. When the storms of life rage, if you will get close to Jesus, whom the writer of Hebrew calls the captain of our salvation, you will hear him say, in the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. That's our encouragement. The danger of faith that draws back is often referred to as backsliding. If you're not moving forward towards Jesus, you are moving away. Guess what? There's no middle ground. You either move towards Jesus or you are backsliding. The process of drawing back is never one of one decision, but 1,000 choices we've made. How then do we go astray spiritually? Again, Hebrews gives us the answer. Hebrews 10:23-26. Notice the sequence. Wavering of faith, wandering from the fellowship, willful sin. All it takes. It's all it takes. So what's the prescription of drawing back? Again, the answer is easy. Cry out to God. Amen. Cry out to God like David did in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. It's the only way. Now, we have seen the use of nautical terms and heard drawback as a nautical expression. The lowering of sails. And on the home stretch, I just want to briefly use the illustration of a sailing boat and sailing. Ah, there's my 2008 sailing boat. If we look at boat, the sail is our faith. And the purpose of sail is to propel the boat in the right direction to its destination. The hull is the foundation of God, and the keel is the depth of God, the foundation in our life. And the tiller and the wheel, well, I guess that's fairly obvious. But we often hear people say, Jesus Christ is at the wheel. Uh-oh, he's not. He's actually sleeping. The Bible tells us Jesus slept. Steering is our responsibility. And we do this by speaking the word of God into the situation. And the wind, those are those storms in our lives. The tribulations, the trials. So what type of winds fill our sails that severely test our faith? Each is a reason for lowering our sails or shrinking back or drawing back. Stormy winds, both cold and adverse. The cold ones, they paralyze you. Spiritual cooling off, staying in the world, the busyness of our lives, the losing zeal for Christ, no fellowship in the body, availability of the word, no Bible study, unable to speak the right word in time of need, just simply running on empty. What are the adverse winds? The enemy's greatest weapon, discouragement. Works of love bearing no fruit. Feel discouraged. pioneering a new work or new initiatives in church, fellowships, receiving no support, discouragement, disappointments in Christian relationships, making assumptions. I once made an assumption. I did a transaction with a Christian businessman, one of the biggest disappointments in my life. What was the wrong assumption? Because he's Christian, he'll be honorable. No. Disappointment, discouragement, sickness, job losses, bereavement, all winds of discouragement. And it's so easy to give up under those winds. But there's one more wind. The Ruach HaKodesh, the wind of the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to not quench that. The Spirit, allow the Spirit to do His work, the still small voice that encourages, that challenges and compels us to act outside of ourselves for service to God. Matthew 26:39 says, notice what Jesus said, and that's the key for us. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So when the Holy Spirit prompts you, think twice. It may be that God is sending you in the right direction. It may be that God is protecting you from disaster. Do not quench the Spirit. But nonetheless, not my will, but your will. That should be our response. We desperately need this wind, which always blows in the direction of our destiny. We need to let our sails be wide open, be receptive to it. Notice, in sailing, in strong winds, we use a trapeze. Hanging out overboard enables a larger area of the sail. So, let me ask the question, do you have a prayer partner you hang out with, that you are accountable to, or that you encourage each other? We cannot possibly deny the cold or the adverse winds in our lives. Therefore, why draw back in adverse conditions? Why lower the sails? There's nothing you can do about it anyway. The answer is simple. No faith in the boat, not knowing how to sail. We can so easily forget the hope of our assurance when in a storm. And more importantly, so easily forget that we are also the face and the hands of Jesus Christ to others. We are baptized in Jesus Christ. We who are baptized in Jesus Christ are in fact to be the ones that have the power to calm the storm in those other people. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to give encouragement to those people that are walking through trials and tribulations. So, as we're coming out to conclusion, let me ask you this morning, are you drawing back because you've lost your initial confidence? Have you wavered and fallen into a routine with no personal relationship with your Lord? Are you caught up in a storm of cold and adverse winds? Is the darkness and the loneliness of the storm overwhelming you? Do you cry out at night and only hear the echoes of your own fears and your trials? I encourage you, stay the course. Do not draw back. But instead, set your sails of faith and stay focused on the destination. Today's decision determines your tomorrow. It may sound like a cliche, but it's a well-worn cliche. Neither you or I can stop and avoid the storms. And do not be surprised, the world can't stop it either. But you can most certainly sail through your way through the storm as you stay focused on Christ, the lighthouse on the shore of your salvation. Just stay focused on Him. And if you should fall, or if you should waver, the partner that's supposed to be hanging out with you in the wind should be there to encourage you. Whether it be your wife, your husband, your church member, friend. It's difficult to be alone, difficult to do it alone. So what is the application? Remember the early days when you received the promise. Do not throw away your confidence, but endure as you obey the will of God for your life to be holy. Live by faith and in believing. Do expect the God of hope to fill you with all joy and peace as He guides you, a pilgrim in this world, to your promised inheritance. He will not delay, for He is faithful. We've just seen it. He will not delay. So in closing, may I share a clip with you in a moment. It is an imagery of sailing through stormy waters, which speaks of mankind's spiritual odyssey through life. On his way to freedom and of fulfillment of eternity with God. It's very emotional for some. For me, I've shed many a tear when I've listened to that one, and you'll recognize it when you hear it. So, may, as the sailor says, may I grant you fair winds and following seas as you stay the course in your destination. The call upon your life, whatever the storms, has a promise. I will see my mother again. I will see my brothers again. Lydia will see her family again. And so will we all. Just stay the course. The reward. So Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity of having shared your word. I pray that it would have fallen on fertile soil, Lord. May it touch the heart of those that are going through trials and perhaps even crying out for answers to their situations. May your word be the answer. May it comfort them. May it bring light to their situation, Lord. And as we go out today, Lord, may this week, may we reflect on what we've heard this day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.